Hello and welcome to Two Peas in a Pod, the podcast that nobody asked for, but we're doing it anyway. I'm Alex.
And I'm Madison. And in this podcast, we talk about trending topics and give you answers to the questions that you're too scared to ask.
Today, we're recording in the great outdoors, so any ambient sound that you might hear is copyright free.
We'll be talking all about dating apps, hookup culture, and how to know when to move the fuck on. So mom, dad, grandma, and my two lovely twin cousins, if you're listening to this episode, please turn it off now.
Yeah, in this episode, we might reveal some more intimate details about our lives. So if you're a family member, friend, or someone who would just rather not know these things about us, shut it down and quit while you're ahead.
But since you'll probably keep listening anyway, don't say we didn't warn you.
So I think it's safe to say that everybody our age has probably downloaded some kind of dating app, either Tinder or Bumble or whatever's popular right now. And I think that everyone's kind of had some kind of experience with it. Even if you haven't met anyone off it, I think that it's just kind of this entertaining thing where a lot of people, they download these apps just for fun or just to see who they meet.
Make like a quirky little profile with a little bio and some nice pictures.
Yeah, no, and I mean, especially I think in this day and age, I think it's really hard to organically meet someone. Like, you know, if someone came up to me while I was in the grocery store, like in the subway, on the subway or something, I feel like if they, like a guy approached me, it's, you kind of go into fight or flight response now where you're like, okay, like what do they want? Are they going to murder me? Like, you're not ready to actually meet someone that spontaneously anymore. So I feel like apps like Tinder and Bumble, they really kind of give you the opportunity to meet strangers that you might not necessarily meet.
Yeah, no, and we were talking about this before the podcast, but I mean, love stories like those Dear John classics and stuff like that, those don't really happen in real life now. So I mean, I think all the apps are just kind of like, I guess I wouldn't even call it a safer way of meeting people, but just like a more entertaining and I guess easier way of meeting someone, whether it's for a hookup or even to become friends, I guess, if that's the way you want to go, or ultimately to date them and try and work on a future with someone.
I feel like people use apps like Tinder and Bumble for a lot of different reasons.
Forget Grindr. Can't forget Grindr.
We love Grindr too. But Madison just said gay rights. But I feel like but yeah, no, I feel like a lot of people, I feel like 99% of people that use Tinder especially, it's just pretty much for hookups, one night stands or like whatever. I feel like a lot of people, just in my experience, they don't actually use it to find a long lasting relationship. It's just kind of something that happens to most people if you find someone that you like and you vibe with. But overall, I feel like it's mainly just a hookup app, and it's just like, you know, it's just like an easy way to find someone to hook up with if that's what you want.
See, the only thing is, I will personally admit that I have a Tinder account, but I constantly delete it off my phone because I get too bored. And the only reason I have it is obviously for entertainment and hopes of meeting someone if one day I want to do that. But I typically end up going for the same guys over and over again. Like, I grew up in Etobicoke, and all the high schools knew each other. Like, everyone at every high school in Etobicoke knew each other. There were, I think, 6 or 7 main high schools. And we were all friends, and we all just kind of kept within circles of these high schools, if that makes sense, when we were dating or hooking up or whatever. Because we'd all have parties together, and we'd all have Friday night lights together, and, like, football games and whatever. So even to this day, like, I'm literally 20 and in my third year of university, and I will still go back to guys that I knew in high school and just talk to them, or like crushes that I had in grade 11, like I'll hook up with them still, and it's like 7 years later or whatnot. And it's just kind of like, well, that's the easiest thing for me, and that's what I'm more comfortable with than having a Tinder account or like a Bumble account or a Hinge account or anything like that. I'd rather stick with someone I know because I feel like there's more chemistry there and you're more comfortable with people you know, rather than having to reintroduce yourself to someone every single time and like tell them about you and just kind of, I guess, act like you give a shit even if you don't. And it's easier to get out of an awkward situation if you know them. You're not like saying, okay, my mom's calling, I gotta go, or telling them to leave your apartment because you have schoolwork to do or something, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I've definitely been there. I mean, I think I'm the same. I've had Tinder on and off my phone for the past couple of years now. And it's something that I definitely delete and delete my profile or whatever when I'm just, I'm bored of it or I'm not really looking for anything. And then, you know, when I'm bored and just want to start swiping again or just have nothing better to do, then it's definitely something that I just re-download. And for me, at least in like high school, I definitely don't talk to any guys from high school because most of them are pretty trash. Shout out Sinclair Secondary School and Whippy. But yeah, for me, I mean, I go on Tinder dates, but it's mostly just like a social thing for me. It'll be like, hey, like, want to grab a drink? Like, I'm down the street. Like, we'll meet at a pub.
Free drinks? Yeah. I always take those. Free
always,
drinks,
always
free
down
dinners?
for a few free drinks. But yeah, no, like it's not really like I don't personally use it for hookups or anything like that. It's more so a social thing, just to meet people and like hang out, grab a coffee. I recently went on a Tinder date this week, and I'm not gonna get too much into that because I told him I wouldn't, and I'm gonna stay true to my word. But yeah, it was definitely interesting because I haven't been on a first Tinder date in a really long time because of the pandemic. So, you know, we kept it safe, obviously, social distance. We stayed outdoors and whatnot. You know, we didn't go get too close. As you should. I'm going to preface that by saying that if you do decide to go out on Tinder dates and stuff, because, I mean, it's understandable. We've been locked up in a pandemic for months now. You know, people get lonely. You know, you need attention or whatever. And that's totally understandable. That's valid. But still, I recommend that you stay safe. So we met up in a park in Toronto, just like had a coffee. Also always meet in an outdoor place so you don't get murdered.
Like a public spot. Literally anything public would be good.
Yeah, so we grabbed a coffee and just went outdoors. And, you know, I was really rusty. I was texting to my friends and I was like, fuck, like I'm really nervous because I haven't been on a first date in a while, especially a Tinder date with a guy that I don't really know. And it did go really well and we're still talking, so.
That's good.
Fingers crossed. I haven't gotten ghosted yet, but you never know.
No, I mean, that's exactly what Alex said is, I mean, if you are going on a Tinder date, you should take all that into account. You should take into account that their profile might not be who they say they are. As rare as it is now to come by something like that, because I know social media sites are getting a lot better at actually verifying information and, like, making sure that the person's accountable and you can link all your profiles and whatnot. People still use fake pictures or like stock images and whatnot, and they try and coerce you into meeting them in places that you might not be comfortable with. So whatever you're doing, just make sure you're comfortable, because that is the most important thing.
I mean, one of the tips that I always kind of like to tell people, especially I use it myself, is whenever I'm meeting someone for the first time on Tinder too, I usually send like their profile so they have their name. So like I'll send it to my friends, a screenshot of their profile, so they have the guy's name, his age, a few pictures of him, and then I tell my friends where we're meeting, just for like safety, because like you never know. And like most of the time, you know, you're probably safe, especially if you're in a public area, you know, you're out in a park with a bunch of people or whatnot. But like, just in case, you know, there's a few red flags or you're uncomfortable, like your friends always know where you are. And I mean we're in such a technological age where it's just so common to meet strangers off the internet now. I think 10 years ago that'd be kind of unheard of, to just go and meet some random guy from the internet that you've never met before. But I think that that's definitely changed now, especially with the accessibility of Tinder and being able to meet anyone at any time, especially when you see that someone's like 1 kilometer away from you and you're like, oh, they literally are like down the street, let's go meet for coffee. Like, now it's just such a normalized thing. But you still do need to stay safe and, you know, keep in mind that, you know, bad shit does happen to people. And even if you don't hear about it, it's so easy for you to just match with a crazy person on Tinder and like end up dead in a ditch somewhere. So staying safe is probably the priority, especially during COVID, when, you know, you don't want to get sick, you don't want to put your family members at risk, but you do still want attention from, you know, whatever gender you're into. So like going out on dates and stuff, I mean, we've all been stuck in our houses locked up for months now. So if you're single and, you know, you're looking for attention or whatever, it is valid to want to go out on Tinder dates and meet people and, you know, try to get some kind of social life and dating life back into your routine. So I think it's valid if you want to go out with people, but you still do need to stay safe and socially distance, wear your masks, and that whole spiel.
This sounds like a COVID
Well, I mean, I just don't want people PSA. To be like, oh, Alex went out on a Tinder date during a pandemic? Like, no, I mean, even when I agreed.
Shout out
to
all the kids in Western and Waterloo who are partying and fucking us over for a second week. Yeah. But anyways.
Yeah, no, like, I mean, even before I agreed to go out with this guy, I was like, shit, like, you know, it's a pandemic. But he was very respectful about it. He was like, oh, like, let's meet outdoors. And like, he was very like safe. So I appreciated that. Because if this guy was like, oh, let's go to a pub or like, let's go to my apartment, I'd be like,
hell no.
I'd be like, fuck no. Like, it's a pandemic. I'm not trying to catch COVID. I'm not trying to get my family sick and whatnot. So, yeah, no, we kept it safe. Just kept like a couple hours in the park, hung out, and that was good.
Had a picnic, you know?
I mean, we didn't have a picnic. It was just coffee, but it was good coffee.
Well,
so.
I think that's one of the reasons, like I said, I like sticking to people that I know, is because I share my location with a lot of my friends. Like, not all of them, but enough of them. And I'm a big If you know me, you'll probably make fun of me because I will probably leave you at a bar or a party to go see a boy.
Happened to me the first time we went out.
So I often do that. I always make sure my friends aren't alone, but that's why a lot of them angrily asked for my location, because they want to make sure that if I'm at said boy's house that I'm being safe. And I think that's one of the reasons why I gravitate towards people I know, like I said, is because at least I know them, I'm comfortable with them, I know I'm going to be safe. If it's someone I've grown up with, it's not like their mom's going to come down the stairs and murder me. Like, she might be like, oh, what are you doing in my house at 3 in the morning? But she's not going to kill me nonetheless.
Yeah. At least she knows who you are and you're not a complete stranger.
Yeah, and like, especially if it's the same person that you're going to see, that's a bonus, because you can become more comfortable with them, you can become more comfortable with where you are with them, and I mean, obviously, still stay safe, like, but it's a lot easier if you know the person. But then again, I don't know many people who still go for people that they've known for a long time. Because, I mean, let's be honest, we were all pretty ugly in high school. So if you're still talking to anyone that you met in high school, like, pre-glow up, then, I mean, good for you. Because that's saying something. They have to be pretty interested if that's the case.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, I mean, even with me, with using Tinder and stuff, like, I know a lot of people do use it for one night stands or hookups or, you know, like easy sex, which is fine. Like, that's valid. If you're being consensual and safe, then like, all the power to you. But personally for me, like, I like to meet someone, hang out with them a few times, get to know them. I don't like to rush into shit like that because I don't know you. I don't know where you've been. You know, I like to stay safe and just kind of get to know the person so that like, it's a recurring thing and not just a shallow one night stand or whatever, because I just think that that's so empty and meaningless, and it's personally not for me. But I also find that my issue with dating these days is that so many people are just afraid of committing. A lot of people just don't want to get into a relationship, and I don't know if that's a generational thing or if it's an age thing, just being in your 20s, but I just find that, you know, if you're talking to a guy or you're talking to a girl and you bring up the concept of wanting to find like a boyfriend or a girlfriend or whatever, I feel like so many people are just turned off by that concept because so many people just want to be like a savage. They want to be a bad bitch, or they want to be a fuckboy and just, you know, get a lot of kills and just have this reputation of getting around a lot, which I think it's really hard to actually find a stable relationship nowadays, just because so many people have that mindset.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. And like, for example, I know many guys who will one day admit that they have feelings for someone and then turn around and they'll invite you over, or they'll hook up with you 20 times, or they'll, you know what I mean? But according to them, you're not friends with benefits, you're not in a relationship. Like, one day they like you, one day they don't, one day they're answering you, one day they're not. Like, it's because of their fear of commitment. Like, they just fuck right off. And I just kind of find it a little bit childish at the age of 20 and 21 and 24, literally. Like,
not yet. We're December 12th, baby.
We're all sitting here and we're like, okay, like, I asked a guy once, I was like, how many times would you say we've hooked up? And he goes, maybe like 25. I was like, okay, it's 25 times and you're telling me we're nothing. There's nothing here. Like, that's what you just kind of have to, like, think about, is like, how you want to be a fuckboy, you want to have a hot girl summer, like hot girl, but for how long? And like, to be fair, I'm kind of a hypocrite, because if you asked me right now if I would get into a relationship, I would have to think about it a lot.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Because like, I'm really good on my own and I'm really independent, and like, my previous relationships, although I'm on good terms with all these people, like, I have nothing bad to say about anyone that I'm talking about, they never quite understood the grind, I guess, or the mentality that I had when it came to putting myself and my work and my family first. And that's something I would need someone so specific to get into a relationship with, to be able to accommodate me and what I need. But with that being said, like I said, I would really still have to think about it. As much as I'm sitting here saying, well, fuck boys, like whatever, I still sit here and pretend like I don't have feelings half the time. So I mean, I'm kind of a hypocrite in that sense.
But I mean, I feel like a lot of people are open, I mean, at least us sitting here, I can't speak for everyone, but I feel like it's easy to want to like be in a relationship and have that romance and, you know, have like a really happy relationship, but at the same time, you know, you gotta respect the grind and be independent. And I feel like people should stay open to the possibility of, you know, finding happiness and being in a relationship and whatnot, but still being comfortable with being single and being comfortable in your own skin. Because I remember when I was like a teenager, I always thought that I needed a boyfriend. I wanted to be fulfilled by having like someone to share my life with and, you know, text every hour of every second of the day. And, like, now I've been single for over 3 years, and I'm happy with that. But I'm still open to the idea of getting into a relationship and possibly finding someone. I don't like to close myself off to any opportunities. Like, if I met someone on Tinder and they asked me, oh, like, what are you looking for? I don't like to answer that question because there's no authentic answer to give, you know? I'm not going to say that I'm looking for a hookup because that's not all I'm looking for. But I'm not going to say I'm looking for a relationship either because I'm not necessarily looking for that either. I'd rather just, you know, meet you.
See how it goes.
Yeah, get to know you, you know, see if we vibe, like, hang out a couple times and, like, see, you know, if there's something there, then there is, and, like, good, let's pursue it. But, like, if not, I'm not going to force it and pretend to, like, want a relationship with you if I don't either.
So, Alex, if Tinder's the kind of thing that you frequent every so often.
I do.
Can I ask you a question?
Go for it.
How do you properly ghost someone if shit isn't working out? Because I'm pretty sure me, alongside all of our other viewers, have had some issues with this, where we just don't know if the best way is not easy, or if we should block them or mute them or just tell them to go fuck themselves. So, I mean, what do you think?
I think on the topic of ghosting, I think that, especially with technology now and being able to block somebody's number, block them on all social media possible. Fuck, I've blocked some people's emails before, you know, like, it's so easy to just like, it's so easy to just cut someone out of your life completely without ever having to say a word to them. And I mean, sometimes that does come in handy, but I think it's a very situational thing where, you know, if you're talking to someone and like, they're a nice person, you know, you're into them, but you just don't see it going anywhere. I think that in those situations, you do have to, like, you do kind of owe it to them if you've hung out a few times to be like, listen, you know, I like you, you're a cool person, but, like, I just don't, you know, and just let them down easy, say, I don't see this going anywhere. But on the flip side, I've had some fucking psychos that I've gone out with where, like, block their number, block their fucking Facebook, block their fucking email, like, everything. So I think that it really depends on, like, are they toxic? Are they, you know, are they psycho? Are they an asshole? Or, like, whatever. Like, if it's a really negative situation that's really draining you, then I think that, you know what, it's fair to completely ghost someone just by blocking them and say, fuck you. Like, I'm not even going to give you a reason. I'm not going to give you the time of day because they don't deserve it. But on the flip side of that, if it is like a decent relationship and you're, you know, you want to stay friends, or, like, you don't want to be an asshole and, like, totally crush their confidence, then I think, like, just shooting them a text and being like, listen, like, you're a great person, great guy, great girl, whatever. But I, you know, I don't see this going anywhere. And as much as that's going to hurt and it's going to fucking suck for them, I feel like that's more authentic. It's more, yeah. Cause then if not, and you just ghost them, they're going to sit and they're going to think, fuck, like, what did I do wrong? Like, did I say the wrong thing? Am I not, like, good looking enough? Am I not blank enough? And I think that that's a really shitty situation to put anyone in, because I think we've all been in that situation where we feel like we're not enough.
Oh, I've literally been crying on the phone and been like, why is it me? Like, and tell me right
fair.
Now, why
it's not fair
me?
To put someone in that situation. But I mean, also on the flip side, if someone is, like, I know a lot of my friends have been talking to guys
flipping
that are
sides a lot, aren't you?
I mean, I know a lot of my friends, they're talking to really, you know, shitty guys, really toxic people, and then my motto is fucking block him. Like, just cut him off. He's an asshole. He doesn't even deserve your time of day. And, like, in those situations, I think ghosting is totally valid. You know, he doesn't even deserve a reason. He doesn't deserve an explanation. Just cut him off. Never speak to him again and block him and everything. But I think it really does depend on the situation. Like, I've been ghosted. I was literally sitting in Deneen Coffee Shop, downtown Toronto. I was going out with this guy who's a model. Allegedly a model.
Allegedly.
And we met for coffee. And as we were sitting there, he was like, oh, I need to go. Like, my sister's in town and we have to get dinner. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever. And I literally checked his social media and he doesn't have a sister.
He doesn't have a sister.
He ghosted while we were on the date. And I was like,
that's
wow.
That's
an interesting one. I mean, we didn't really vibe anyway. So, like, it wasn't nothing ventured, nothing gained, I guess. But that was probably the worst ghosting experience I've had, because he was so blatant about it. He was like, yeah, like, I have to go, my sister's in town. And, like, this man didn't have a sister. I checked his social media. He's a fucking only child. But, like, I mean, go off. If you're not vibing and you gotta get out, then I guess you gotta get out.
Well, I think you raise an interesting point, because if you are gonna tell someone, obviously, like, hey, like, it's not working out, I really like you, whatever, I do think it's important to stress that you can really like someone and know that in the future it won't work out. Like, I know a lot of people our age have the mindset now that, oh, well, if you're not going to marry them, what's the point in sticking around? And I guess that's a big thing, too, is, like, knowing what's good for you and what will progress of it in the future, and, like, if you two have the same kind of morals, the same kind of character, the way that it would work properly.
See, but I hate that shit where it's like, oh, if you're not gonna marry them in the future, then, like, what's the point? Because that's such bullshit, because, like, marriage,
you don't know.
First of all, marriage isn't even the end goal always, and second of all, like, all of my past relationships, even if they've ended in, like, trauma and, like, really shitty dark shit, I've always learned something from them. I've always grown from them. I've always become a much better and well-rounded person, and, like, in my future relationships, I've learned so much.
How,
like, even myself acting toxic, like, even even on my own, like, not even on, like, the guys being, like, toxic, even my own, like, my own self-aware toxicity and shit, like, even just learning from that and, like, saying, okay, like, how I acted in this situation wasn't right, I'm not gonna do that from now on, just learning and how to grow through future relationships, even if you don't end up marrying that person, because, like, statistically, you're probably not.
Yeah.
You can maybe date for a few years and part ways and whatever, but, I mean, marriage isn't always the end goal, so I think that it's so important to have these relationships and kind of, you know, find out what you like.
Them.
Yeah, find out what you like, find out what worked, what didn't, and kind of move on from that and become a better and more well-rounded person so that when you do meet the one that you do, I guess, end up marrying or being with long-term, then you're ready for that and you have those experiences to kind of back off of so you don't make the same stupid mistakes.
You just, in that case, though, you do just really have to be mindful of red flags and kind of, like, when to give them the ultimatum. Like, if you're talking to someone for a long time and they're acting right one day, not acting right the next, whatever, you just kind of have to say to them, like I've said it before, I've said, you know, come back when you start talking to me properly and respectfully, or miss me when I'm gone, your choice. And then eventually if they choose to come back, then that's on them. If they don't come back, then that's when you just say fuck it and move on. And like, as hard as that might be to do, it's really important to move on from the relationships that bring you toxicity, whether it's friendships or actual legitimate dating relationships, just because you don't need that in your life. Like, quite frankly, you don't need that energy. No one needs that energy, whether you're a girl or a boy. Like, you don't need any of that energy around you. So I think that is a really important thing. You need to know when to do it. Like, you need to know how long is too long to stick around. And believe me, my friends tell me to this day, why are you still sticking around? Why, like, what's the point? But it's also true that if you feel like there's something worth fighting for, to stick around and try and make it work, and, you know, just keep motivating yourself to be better and try and encourage them to be better and work with you on the issues that you guys have. You know, communication's key, and I feel like I'm just reciting my toxicity article that I wrote a month ago, but
are you gonna plug your articles every episode?
I'll plug my articles, and whoever reads the articles and listens to the podcast might actually get $20 instead of 10, you know?
No, and I mean, it comes down to self-respect, and I mean, growing up, my mom used to always tell me, and shout out Brenda, it's her birthday today.
Happy birthday, Brenda, we love you.
Happy 39th, even though it's,
wish you a happy
it's been your 39th birthday for the past 10 years, so shout out. But my mom used to always tell me, even in relationships, you know, you always have to know your limit. There's always a point where you just say, you know what, this is it. I've had enough, and you have to move on and just, you know, you have to kind of cut and run, because you can only take so much for so long, and you're right, like, eventually you do have to start fighting for stuff, and, you know,
your mental health will deteriorate for sure if you keep putting up
and you
with
deserve better than constant, like, if a guy or a girl says, like, oh, I'm gonna change, like, I'm gonna, like, you know, I'm gonna get better, like, I'm gonna be better, I'm gonna treat you better,
change comes from within,
you know?
It's
yeah,
not about
no.
the words,
you know, and you can only deal with that for so long until you eventually do reach your limit and you're like, you know what, I've had enough, this has been going on for too long, and you do have to give them the ultimatum and say, you know, you get your shit together or I'm out, like, I've had enough. And I think it really does come down to the self-respect and self-love of saying, you know what, I deserve better than this, because a lot of the times people just put up with that shit because they think that, like, oh, this might be as good as it's gonna get, or, like, this guy is, like, he's the one, and, like, he's the best that I'm ever gonna get, and that's not always true. And, you know, eventually you just have to kind of realize your worth and say, you know what, I've had enough of this shit, and just kind of move on.
And I find the minute that you realize your worth, as hard as it is, that's the minute that you'll grow to love yourself even more. And quite honestly, that's the minute that these said people that you've pushed away and said, you know what, fuck you, they will realize, eventually they will realize what they're missing, and that they had it so good. They had someone who checked up on them. They had someone who would have given them the entire world. And they left you for what? Their commitment issues and their, like, mommy issues? Like, I'm sorry.
It's always the mommy issues. But no, I think every single person I can think of that I've given that ultimatum of, you know what, fuck you, like, I've had enough,
they come back.
Always. They always, like,
come back.
Even, like, 3 years later, one of my ex-boyfriends, I remember I was getting ready for class. This was, like, a year ago. And we dated, like, 3 or 4 years ago. But it was, like, I was getting ready for a journalism class, like, last year. And I got a phone call from a restricted number. And I was like, who the fuck? And I answered it. There's no one, and they hung up, and I was like, okay, whatever. And they called again, and then he said, hey, it's so and so, I just wanted to see how you're doing. And I'm like, guy, we haven't talked in like 3 years.
Yeah, what the fuck?
But it ended in a really toxic way, and like, he was really fucked up at the end of the relationship and whatnot. And I told him, you know what, I can't do this anymore, blah blah blah. And then of course he comes crawling back, and he called me and said he wanted to meet for a drink and whatever, and he has a girlfriend, so that's a little messy. But anyway, I didn't indulge him, and I didn't, like, you know, I didn't agree to it, because, you know, I'm good with where I am. I don't need it. I don't like moving backwards and going into old relationships and stuff, especially if they ended in a bad way. I don't like to revisit that shit, because once I'm done, I'm done. But I mean, I think that just whenever you give a guy or a girl that ultimatum of, you know what, I've had enough, I'm out, eventually they start to realize how they fucked up and they almost always come crawling back.
And can I just stress that we should never be begging for anyone's time? You should never be sitting there being like, oh, well, he left me on delivered or on open. Let me tell you something. If you're listening to this podcast, even though we advised you not to in the first place, then this message is for you. Because if they left you on open, on delivered, your time is a privilege. You're putting your time into anything is a privilege. If they don't understand the privilege that it is to receive that Snapchat or that text from you or that song that you thought that made you think of them at 3 a.m, what the fuck are they still doing in your life? That means you gotta cut them out.
No, and I mean, that goes to say, like, even if that person who you're constantly begging for their time, you end up dating them or whatever, like, how is that going to affect your relationship, too, if, you know, you feel like you always have to, like, ask for their attention or you always have to,
like, why are you competing?
Yeah, you shouldn't have to. I mean, and everyone's going to have their commitments. They're going to have a job. They're going to have hobbies. They're going to have family. Everyone has, like, life stuff. But people should still always be making time for you and want to spend time with you and make things work no matter how hectic and crazy life gets. Like, everyone has fucked up schedules. Everyone's stressed out because of COVID, because of work, because of, you know, dating, whatever's going on in our lives. But I mean, it's so important to just shoot someone a text that takes 10 seconds to send and be like, hey, like, what's your availability this week? I really want to see you. It takes 10 seconds to do, and I feel like a lot of people, they just don't even bother.
Or like, hey, like, I'm hoping you're having a good day, or like, hey, hope your test is going well, or if you know, I always text. I'm a really good listener, so I always text my not to brag or anything, but I always text my friends if they have like a job opportunity or if they have a test or a midterm or if they have something they're doing.
Right, just to show support before. And be there for them, yeah.
Hey, hope it went well, like let me know how it is, or hope your first day of this is good or whatnot. Like it shows support and it shows recognition and it shows that you're there for the people in your life, and that's ultimately what you want out of any relationship that you get yourself into. You want to put in what you get out and vice versa. So I mean, I think that's really important when choosing the people in your life, I guess.
No, and I mean, I think my motto throughout any relationship, be it a friendship or like dating or whatever, is if they were going to text you, they would have. You know, shooting someone a text, hey, how's your day going? Or like, hey, what are you doing Thursday night or something? That takes literally 10 seconds to do. I mean, everyone has, even if you're sitting on the toilet taking a poop, like everyone has 10 seconds.
Cute.
Everybody does it. It's nature.
I guess I'll stop watching TikToks and maybe send that text next time.
Yeah, I mean, kind of inspired there you go. Me, I think. I mean, but yeah, it literally takes 10 seconds to shoot someone a text and just be like, hey, like what's going on? Hey, what are you doing on Friday night? Or like something like that, just to show that like, at least you're putting forth the effort, you know? And I feel like a lot of people just, if they can't even give you that 10 second of time to, you know, touch base or communicate with you, then like, what does that say about down the road when you're actually potentially in a relationship with them?
See, I completely agree with that. Although most of my experiences have been me at a bar or a party drunk being like, hey, like, what are you doing right now?
Yeah, that's the easiest way to text a guy or a girl is like when you're
busy right now?
You're a few shots deep and you're like, hey, what's going on tonight? I mean, that's the easiest way to do
and
it.
And then in the next 10 minutes you end up at their house and you're like, oh, how did that happen? But anyway,
story of my life.
Anyways, I think with that, we should probably talk about all the oh-so-dreaded Tinder experiences.
I think it is, once again, story time.
Oh, no. Better than the academic misconduct story from last week?
Oh, I think this one's gonna kick it out of the park, for sure.
All right. So we made a call out on our Instagram for some Tinder stories that we thought
some people might want to share with us on our podcast. So we got a few really good ones, and
we're going to keep them anonymous, of course, because, you know, I mean,
of course,
I don't think they would want their names mentioned, judging by how extreme some of these stories are. So, right. Alex, you want to kick us off?
I'm going to kick it off. I'll do the first one.
All right.
Because I think, you know, a lot of people like to save the best for last, but I think we want to do the first one. That's the best one first, because it is mind-boggling.
Absolutely insane.
Okay. So here we go. So this person wrote to us and said, a couple years ago, I went to Florida with some friends and I went on Tinder there and matched with this guy and we ended up hooking up in his car. All went well until he went into the wrong hole and missed. He screamed and ripped all the skin out of my back, scratching it. Long story short, I looked down and his penis was bent at almost a 90 degree angle. He left and went to the hospital and I went to Snapchat him the next day to see how he was doing and if he was okay. But he blocked me and unmatched me on Tinder. A week later, I was back in Canada and he unblocked me and told me his mother told him he needed to let me know what happened so I wouldn't feel guilty.
Oh my.
That's
that's a hard one to beat.
You know, I didn't even know it was possible to break someone's penis at a 90-degree angle, but I mean...
How long do you think that would take to heal?
I don't know.
If anyone knows, please let us know.
I don't know. Like, all I can think about is, like, in New Girl, when Schmidt breaks his penis and he has to wear a cast. He has to wear a cast for, like,
a
month.
Schmidt.
I know. Iconic. Iconic show. So, like, I wonder if this man had to wear a cast for, like, a few months over his wiener. That's something
kind of,
else. So, shout out to who sent that to us. That's a fantastic story.
We love you,
and
thank you for taking part in our episode.
Alrighty.
Okay, this next one, this one's pretty good too. I can't even lie. Okay, yeah. So, we received a message that said, "This guy I went to high school with matched with me on Tinder, and we decided to grab a drink and hang out. We hadn't really seen each other in years, but decided to catch up, and we eventually hooked up at his place." Starts off good, right? Well,
classic.
Afterwards, he stopped texting me and I found out he had a girlfriend of over 3 years. Oh, we love a loyal boy.
Oh, we love that. Good for him.
She found out about me, and since his girlfriend was friends with one of my friends, I got a screenshot of her asking who I was. When she found out I had hooked up with her man, instead of getting angry, she apparently looked me up on Instagram and asked him if I would be down for a threesome.
No.
I blocked them both.
Oh my god,
oh
that's
my
so
god.
Funny.
That's so bad.
Like, you'd think that she'd be pissed and be like, oh my god, like, you cheated on me, like, you hooked up with this random broad. Oh my god.
She wanted a threesome.
That's hilarious.
Wow.
Okay.
And all right.
For our final one, this is also a really good one. This one's fun. I like this one. Okay. So this last person sent us a message, and it goes like, "One time I had a guy ask me to come over to his parents' house because they were away for the weekend. He was 30. What kind of guy lives at home in his 30s?
Me.
Fact. Anyways, he told me to bring a bathing suit because he had a hot tub, and I thought, perfect. I'm on my way there, and he tells me it's a shared hot tub with his neighbors, but no one ever uses it. I'm thinking, what the fuck? His neighbors use his hot tub? But okay. I get to his place. It's in a gated community, and he says, okay, let's go, and gets in his car. I get into, and we drive for like 2 minutes in the gated community. His parents lived in a gated community, but not for rich people, for old people."
Oh
my god. "It was basically a gated retirement community. He took me to the community's rec center and took me to the public pool, which also had a hot tub. The place was super busy when we got there with a bunch of old people and kids. Afterwards, he asked if I wanted to get dinner or not, because if not, he was going to eat at his sister's place for free. We did not get dinner."
Talk about literal sister and daddy issues.
Like, I don't even know how you could go on a date and like get it on and get all like feisty with a guy when a bunch of like 80-year-old
in
grandmas
a shared hot tub,
or
Alex?
In a shared,
a shared
no,
hot tub.
Like that's just that's
don't
that's
you have
wrong
sex in a shared hot tub?
That's so wrong. Like, I'd expect to own his backyard, like cute little hot tub, have some wine. Nope, you're sitting there with like grandma, grandpa, and all their grandkids in a hot tub.
That's must be a big hot tub if that's the case.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. So shout out to all the people who sent us
yeah,
stories.
Yeah, thank
were,
you very much.
Those
were
our
beautiful.
Top three. But yeah, thank you for, you know, sending us shit.
Well, I think now it might be our story time.
Oh god. Alrighty, do you want to start us off with one of your best Tinder date stories, or I guess in this case worst Tinder date stories?
Well, I just want to preface that anyone mentioned in this episode, like, well, at least this section of the episode for sure, on mine and Alex's behalf, is that we're on good terms with them and we wish them well.
Yeah.
Because if we have beef and we hate you, we wouldn't be mentioning you anyways.
Yeah, no. I mean, these are more of the funnier stories that, like, you know, we're not sharing any trauma in this pod yet. That'll be maybe in a later episode.
Yeah,
so this is
know.
Just, you know, funnier
when
stories.
I cry over our midterms, you know.
Yeah, maybe we'll get into some relationship trauma then. But this is just kind of light and funny Tinder stories that, you know, they're good stories and, you know,
yeah.
funny. But it's not, there's no beef. And, I mean, if on the random chance that you listen to this and you think that the description of these the Tinder date matches you, and it does, and it when we're talking about you, then I mean shout out, but you know, no beef, all's good.
I would actually laugh if someone texts me and goes, oh my god, at 3 minutes and 45 seconds when you mentioned going
yeah,
over
yeah.
to Blank's house that it was about me.
Oh
like
my god.
Shout out to everyone who did that in the last episode, because I got a lot of texts about that
yeah.
crush that Alex and I had.
I did too.
So yeah.
shout out if you know who
anyways.
You are. But
so you want me to tell the worst one, or you want to just...
I think we should start off with the worst one.
All right. So like I've said before, I don't keep Tinder on my phone, but on the rare occasion that I do, I like to match with, you know, I kind of go for the same type. I hate to admit it. I'm one of those blonde boys with chains. They either have to be blonde or have really dark hair. You know, kind of have their shit together, but like also could ruin my life, you know? Like if you find me on
classic.
Tinder and my bio is, and you see that my bio is, tell me how you could ruin my life. Well, no, you didn't see me. Okay. So, all right. So my favorite one that I have took place last February. And I met this boy on Tinder, and I had met him at a party before, like a Mississauga party. And we're hitting it off. It was pretty good. Like, he wanted to hook up and whatnot. And then one day he hit me with a message saying, oh my gosh, like, my ex-girlfriend needs to be there. Like, she's obsessed with you. Like, she needs to be there. She needs to either be involved, or she needs to be watching, or she has to be there.
Oh my
God. And I was like, okay, this is kind of weird. So one night we all met up, me, him, and his ex-girlfriend, and we're listening to some Trippy Red, you know? Mm-hmm. And we like met each other, and we wanted to hang out all together so it wouldn't be weird, but it was still weird either way. And then the next morning, bright and early, I went and picked up his ex-girlfriend, and then we went to his house, and we made pancakes, and we ate the pancakes, and we all talked and chatted, and they smoked, and I was sober because I had to go to work after. And she brought me makeup. Like, she worked at, I don't even know where she worked. She worked at, like, a makeup factory or company that I guess got rid of all the makeup that was, like, kind of damaged or, like, extra makeup or whatever. She bought me a bag of makeup, and she kept telling me how pretty I was, and, like, she's super, like, I'm very much an advocate for anyone in the LGBTQ committee, but I am definitely not bisexual or a lesbian. I'm 100% straight, and she was very definitely bi. But I think they had an obsession with having sex with other people and in front of other people, because the stories they were telling me were just kind of fucked up.
I mean, even on Tinder, you see so many, like, shared profiles of people looking for, like, a threesome or, like, some kind of shared experience. So I think that's a pretty common kink, I guess.
No, yeah, it is for sure. And I mean, I'm just gonna, like, let you all wonder where that went next. But, it wasn't my proudest moment. I would definitely say that I probably wouldn't do it again, but then I've never talked to them since, and she still sometimes comments on my pictures, but, like, you know, I mean, he was hot, okay? So, like, that's all that matters, I guess.
There you go. Okay, so for one of mine,
oh, no.
This was someone that I met in first year over Tinder, and, you know, pretty good looking, didn't live too far away, like, only a few subway stops away from me. And so we went out a few times.
Alex,
and then,
you have a lot.
I have so many funny Tinder stories, just because I go out with so many people, just, like, grab drinks and, like, just to be social, like, not even a sexual thing, just, like, oh, let's hang out. And then a lot of them end up being, like, really bad or, like, really funny stories. So I have a lot of funny ones, but this one is kind of a recurring one because this person still messages me to this day, even though it went really poorly. But anyway, I'll start at the beginning. So the first time we went out, we got coffee, and, you know, he drove me home after. It seemed fine. And then he told me that he was really struggling with mental illness. And I was like, okay, like, you know, like, I respect you for saying that, whatever. But he was like, no, like, I was diagnosed with schizophrenia. And a few months ago, Jesus came through the radio and told me to kill myself and my family. And I was like,
I'm sorry, I'm laughing. It's so funny.
Back up. I was like, back up. Okay, so we've got, like, a Ted Bundy or something here. Okay, perfect. And so, yeah, he told me that he was really mentally ill and he was really struggling with that. And I was like, you know, I respect that. Like, I respect mental illness and whatnot. But I was like, okay, like, maybe this isn't the best time for you to be dating then. And maybe you should, like, you know, get that under control. But anyway, we went on a few more dates. I think on our second or third date, we went to Dave & Buster's. And he brought me a gift. And it was a tentacle. Like an octopus tentacle that you put on your finger. And you can imagine what that would be used for. But to this day, he still super likes me on Tinder. I see it about once a week, and I keep swiping no because he's literally nuts.
That's so messed up.
And not to say the people with schizophrenia are nuts, it's just that he never really got his stuff under wrap. Like, he wouldn't go to therapy, he wouldn't go on medication or, like, anything. Like, he did nothing to help himself with it. Because, you know what, people with severe mental illness definitely can, like, be functional and, you know.
Yeah, no, 100%.
And, you know, like, there's nothing wrong with that at all. And I'm totally open to having a relationship with someone that struggles with that. But at the same time, like, he did nothing to help himself. So he was very, very unstable and very, very, I don't like to use the word crazy, but he was crazy. So, like, to this day, he'll still message me on Facebook, even though I don't have him on Facebook. And he'll still send me that super like every week on Tinder. And he will not give up. He won't take the message. He won't take the hint.
I think by now he should probably take him.
No,
hit.
He literally sent me a super like 3 days ago on Tinder. And I was like, really? Still? Still? We're still doing that?
No, seriously. What the hell? Well, on that note, Alex, I think we have time for one more story, so make sure you end us off with a really good one. I'm not saying your other one was bad. I just mean you're going to need one to compete with that one.
All right, I've got a good one, and this one was actually more recent. So this was
from
New Year's Eve, and this we didn't meet on Tinder, but it was still like a very like blind date, like I just met and whatever. So I was at New Year's Eve with a bunch of my friends, and we went to like a big party. Shout out to when we were able to go to big parties. And
a shindig.
Yeah, and so I met this guy there. He's really good looking, you know, tall, you know. We made out and like we're talking and whatnot. And I remember I asked him, I was pretty drunk, but I asked him, I was like, how old are you? And he was like, he paused and he had to think about it. And I was like, red flag, okay. He's like, how old are you? I was like, I'm 23. Why? How old are you? And he's like, I'm 22. And I was like, okay, interesting. Fine, whatever. And so like nothing really happened, we just kissed and like whatever, and then he had to go exchange number, so I had his number, and then I tried to find him on Instagram or Facebook or anything like that, just because, you know, after I meet a guy, I like to find them on social media and, you know, kind of see what they're all about. And so we were texting the next morning after, like, hey, how was the rest of your night, blah blah blah, and he just said, oh, it was fine, whatever. And I said, oh, do you have Instagram? And he's like, yeah, here it is. He sent it to me. And I went to look him up. And I kid you not, he had a prom picture from like 2 months, 3 months ago or whatever, whenever prom was. And I was like, so either you went to prom at 22 with like a 17-year-old girl, which is problematic.
Or you lied about your age.
So I was like, I sent a screenshot to him and I was like, interesting. And he was like, oh, shit, you saw that. And I was like, yeah, so how old are you really? He's like, oh, I'm 18. And I was like, 911, no. Jail, call the police. And I mean, yeah, it's legal,
literally,
but like...
caught a case almost.
Like, no, literally. I think he turned 18 like... recently. Like a few months ago. Like he was barely 18, basically still 17. And I was like, no, like, come on. Like, I don't want to fucking catch a case here. Like, 911, jail, like... call Child Protective Services or something, because I was just like, you know,
that's fucked up.
You could have just told me and like maybe I would have been like kind of okay with it, because yeah, you're 18, it's legal, whatever, but I mean, I'm still uncomfortable with someone that's that younger than me, because I'm almost 24. Like I was like, like, no,
he wasn't even legal drinking age.
No, I know. I was like, what are you doing here? Because like we were at a bar, like it wasn't a house party, it was fully a bar, so we had a fake ID. So like, first of all, fake IDs are cursed. Like, don't go to bars if you're like 17 and hook up with someone who's like,
shout out Greasy Gracie. Yeah, I guess, Mike, I know you're listening.
Shout out Mike Jagerbomb. But yeah, no, I mean, just fake IDs are so cursed, because like you get into the bar and you're like, oh, I'm so cool, I'm like 17, I'm at this bar, but then you hook up with someone who's like 25 and they catch a case. So like, don't do that. Just yeah, don't do that. If you're gonna go to a bar, just drink and don't talk to people that are older than you, because then you'll be in my shoes and be traumatized because you hooked up with a guy who went to prom a few months ago and you're almost 24 years old.
Yeah, and hopefully after everything you've heard today, you're gonna kind of take into account what we've said, you know, give yourself mini pep talks, tell yourself not to end up in our shoes or the contributor's shoes who've sent us in those Tinder dates, but also keep in mind what we talked about before and the self-love and the self-worth, and like, you know, everything we mentioned in this episode's really relevant and really important, I gotta say.
Yeah, but I mean, on that note, if you're gonna go out on dates with people, you know, stay safe and
don't get COVID,
you know,
safe sex,
stay maybe. Safe always. And on that note, I think that's all the time that we have for today. So
it's more than all the time that we have for today. But so, we're going to wrap it up now.
Yeah, so thanks for tuning in, as always. And next week, look forward to our episode where we discuss social media and the good and the bad of social media. And
the toxicity and influencers and all that fun stuff.
And what it's like to use Facetune and be a fake-ass bitch.
Like us. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean.
All right.
Alrighty, so thanks again, guys. And bye for now.